Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Max 6 Entrepreneurial Center right here in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. And I'm very excited to have, I think, a very fast new friend, Dr. Tricia Groff, with us. She's an executive coach, licensed psychologist, and author, and I believe it's of a brand new book. Am I right?
Yes.
I'm thrilled to have you. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
And we also have with us, I was going to say a long time repeat guest, Peter Adams. I felt like I was in the Sun Stadium there and there should be like the music, you know, keying up. Welcome back, Peter. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
And Peter sits right outside here in our co-work space. So I get to see you almost every day, at least a couple times a week.
Yeah, two, three times a week at least.
And I've invited you to co-host. I love it. I'm sad when I get here and you're not there, right? In fact, yesterday, the day before, I'm like, Peter, you're here later than usual. Like, I know your schedule.
That might mean that I'm just, you know, being a little too on. Just
time to change it up.
Yeah, I got to do something. I don't know.
I love it. So the reason why I've asked Peter to join us is because he was the one who enthusiastically said, you've got to meet my friend, Dr. Tricia Groff. Oh. She's got this great book. I put it in the library and I'm like, okay, yeah, I think we need to meet and come and co-host this with me. So either one of you can speak to it. How did you two connect and meet and where did the love fest begin?
Well, I mean, it goes back to meetups. Yeah. When we actually, you know, were able to meet in person, we both started going to this entrepreneur meetup, Tempe Entrepreneurs Meetup. And we've always connected and kept in touch. And that's where it all started.
Love it.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting to me with relationships, how some of them just keep on working. But with Peter, part of my love fest with him professionally is that there's a lot of times where you have to follow up with people to make sure that they're doing or helping in whatever way they're trying to help. And so whenever I would get stuck on my website, I would reach out to Peter and be like, Peter, help. And what's intriguing to me is that you always respond before I get a chance to follow up. And so with him as a person, there's always been that consistency and reliability that makes me trust you from a personal standpoint. So, yeah.
Appreciate that.
So then you'll have to tell us, we'll have both of you introduce yourselves as far as what you do professionally. I've just kind of dropped a few hints and Tricia helped do that. So Peter, if you could start first, tell us who you are, the name of your company and what you do professionally.
Sure. So Peter Adams, I own Soulman in Development. We are a professional software development, technology strategy, and cybersecurity consulting firm. So we talk tech with pretty much everybody and just help make sure everybody's set up, ready to go. You know, they're not ending up in headlines like Colonial Pipeline and everybody else, where we kind of prefer our clients to not be in the news for that kind of thing.
Right. We'd rather invite them here at Business Radio X and get to highlight them in a great way, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so tell us about your career and the book. I mean, we've got a full hour. So this is where Peter and I and Daryl, for that matter, are all here to shine the spotlight in your direction. So go for it. Get us acquainted with who you are and the people you serve.
Well, my name is Tricia Groff, and I have about 20 years or more of experience in working with people. And I find people fascinating, right? Because we're sort of squirrely and weird and like all sorts of things. So it never gets boring. But for a long time, I worked in counseling. I did counseling that led into a specialization that I have with high achievers, which is, we can talk about that if it's of interest to you. It's a whole personality where people are kicking butt. And they're constantly wondering if they're doing enough. And so along the way, I became just very interested in business. I love business. And I'm finding that a lot of the human variables that I dealt with when I was working as a counselor, it is in organizations, you know, building trust, helping people through stress, figuring out team development. And so the intersection between psychology and business is extremely interesting to me. And so that's what I do now. I work with founders, CEO, business leaders on this. It's almost like a three-tier piece that I keep an eye on: the person individually, and then what are the intersections among the employees and the team? How is the team going? And then what's the direction of the organization? So I have some people right now that are looking at selling their businesses, some people that are involved with venture capitalists. And so the VC funding is coming in. And so a lot of the organizational dynamics that add stress into their daily lives. So that's where I'm hanging out in terms of people nowadays, is figuring out how to help people stay sane when they're kicking it in business.
Yeah. I got to call you yesterday and leave a message because I was having difficulty sending you an email. And I loved your voicemail because you introduced yourself beautifully, like you did, of course, just now. And then you also said, and just by the way, something like that, I'm no longer counseling, but what I am doing, right, or I'm no longer offering services as a counselor, but here's what I am doing. You spoke to this executive leadership piece. Do you mind if I hope I am not putting
you on the
spot? You
can ask anything you want.
But I love that, because you're really, it was very clear about the people that you serve. And I'm imagining that people are still reaching out wanting to have, you know, more general counseling services for, I think, a more general layperson. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're like, hey, you know, these are the people that I'm really focused on and where my genius lies.
Yes, I did that for my own sanity and to save people time, because what has happened is that I'm still getting referrals from people that worked with me years ago. And it's the most interesting thing, because I know that in business, referrals are good. But if you change businesses, like on one hand, it's a compliment, but on the other, it's like, I heard that you do this and this. Can you work with me? And so I added that to my voicemail just so that the caller can instantly move on to another resource versus waiting for a call back and navigating that whole conversation.
And the other piece of it for me is that it really speaks volumes about how I think it would be to work with you as an executive leadership coach and a guide, right? Because clear boundaries. I just thought it was lovely.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try to be really straightforward, and it seems to be something that my clients like. Yeah. So thank you.
It's very appreciated. I mean, it's hard to find people that won't always just say what needs to be said. And I've always appreciated that that part of you.
Aww.
Where, you know, if I need to hear something, whether I want to hear it or not, shouldn't matter. If I need to hear it, I always know that you're going to tell me
what it is
that I need to hear. Whether it's not necessarily that it's not mean, it's just, hey, this is happening and you need to be thinking about this. And usually in the back of my head, I'm going, yeah, I kind of do.
Well, I really appreciate that, because it's hard for me. I always have to take a deep breath. And what goes on in the back of my mind, especially in my professional life, is, Trisha, these people are paying you to tell them the truth as you see it. So if you don't, who's going to?
Exactly.
And then for my friends, for me, it's caring. Like at the end of the day, it's caring, but it's hard sometimes because I don't want to make sure,
you don't want to make anybody feel bad.
Right. Exactly. So thank you.
So this seems like as good a time as any to have you speak about your book, because you're modeling relational genius, at least in my opinion. Tell us about the book and the catalyst for writing it.
So the book is called Relational Genius, The High Achiever's Guide to Soft Skill Confidence and Leadership in Life. I want to tell you, because I know that Relational Genius is a very sexy title, and I'm really happy with that. But Relational Genius comes from some very basic premises. And so originally I was thinking fundamentals for high achievers. What are the basic things that people have to know? But sometimes what I consider basic, or what might feel basic, isn't. It's a little bit more complex. I've had questions over and over again from people. Each week I'll hear a theme. This week the theme was leaders struggling with not wanting to disappoint people. And so how do we cope with that very human intersection of business? And so I wrote the book to lay out these themes that I hear so many people struggling with, or information that they might need. My heart has always been to provide information to a broader audience than I can reach one-on-one. So no matter how many companies or individuals I work with, there's a cap on that. And so the book is a way of getting some information out there to more people.
And is it your first book?
It is. Yes,
and
it is.
I have a children's book that I wrote children's back in 2010. It's like having a baby. Did you feel like, do you have kids yourself?
I do not.
Okay, but you can relate to the idea of birthing this incredible thing into the world.
I'm going to be honest here because that's who I am. Everybody was so excited about the book. And it's just like, wow, you must be excited. This is amazing. Aren't you proud of it? Well, what happened, so if we're talking about the pain of bearing a baby, that's what I'm speaking to.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get to the joy part right now, but it was pain because what happened was there was a point when normally if I wrote a book, what I would do is figure out a few people, some clients and some friends that would completely tear it apart earlier in the stages. And so, of course, I had an editor look at it and other people, but what happened was at the point when I needed people to tear it apart was right when COVID really hit. So the people that I would normally ask to tear it apart were saying, hey, Trisha, we have to figure out if we're going to lay off people in our company. It was, women who were suddenly managing their professional life and their kids. And so I do know that people are supportive of me, but I think that there always has to be a line in terms of how much more are you going to put on somebody that's just trying to get air. And so what was interesting was that a lot of the book I wrote, needing to rely on my own judgment about what to put in it, because there weren't people available to tear it apart and say, this is boring, this is great, this is whatever. And so that was hard. That was, I talked to people about relying on their own judgment, but
I had to do it.
It was sort of hard to go, I hope this works because it's going to go out to everybody. And like I said, I did have an editor. I did have people looking at it. Somebody on the back of the book is Penny Cowden, who I just like clung to because she's like, this is great. I wish I had this years ago. But it was interesting to put that much effort into something and not know what the outcome would be,
like,
which is what
baby.
We do in business, like having a baby.
It is.
See, you're like, this is my point. This is like having a baby. Go.
Because no. This is all about your experience. And whether you've had, children or not, there's so many different aspects of it. I know Peter's a father, and it's like, is there ever the perfect time to have a kiddo? You don't know what to expect with that first baby, especially I have three kids, but that first birthing experience, I couldn't have prepared any better because I also didn't know what I was going to go to.
You don't know.
And the pain,
yes.
Right? And like you, it's funny as you're talking, like, I'd like to say it was joyous and lovely and a lot better roses, but I'm just now finally starting to see that piece of it. That was me as a parent. I had postpartum depression with both kids, my first two, not my third, and people kept saying to me, this is supposed to be the greatest time of your life. And I'm like, it's not. But now, of course, they're 26 and 24 and I'm digging it. But anyway.
But I'm so glad that you said that, because then I think that there's a parallel with business there too.
I was
just talking to one of my people yesterday, and it's just like, there's always this risk where you don't know what you're doing. But on the, there was something that you said, now it's very personal that I want to tune into, when you said that you had, everybody was like, this is supposed to be the most fun time of your life. Right after the book launched, people were like, aren't you excited? Isn't this amazing? And what was going through my head was, I'm exhausted. And so there was such a discrepancy between what was going on inside of my head and the people around. And that's okay, because you just told me this is the way it's supposed to be when you're birthing anything.
I believe it is. Thoughts to add to that, Peter?
I mean, so when I first found out about it, and you had the book and you were like, hey, I need people to look at this. I was still in kind of a place where I was just kind of cruising along with my company. We didn't get hit really bad with the pandemic early on. It took until about 6 months when some of my clients that they had been doing okay, and then they were just like, things are changing and we're selling the business, and they were going away. That's when it kind of really started to hit a home for me with it. Mm-hmm. And so when you asked me about this, I'm like, you know what? There's all this, I've got this stuff going on, but I don't care, because this sounds really interesting, and this is stuff that I need to work on anyway. And so I was thrilled to take a look at it. And my comment and I loved your reaction to it. My comment on the book was, I wish more leadership books were written like this, because it's written, and you even said, I wanted this to be written in a way where you don't have to pick it up and read it cover to cover. I want you to be able to pick it up, have a topic in mind, go to that section and read that section. And I wish more leadership books were written that way, because it would make it so much easier for me, who I'm a slow reader, number one. But I also just don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, your time is cramped and you're always making decisions about where you're going to use it.
Exactly. So having the ability to just pick this up and go, okay, I need to go look at this chapter. Just the writing style too. When I dug into it and I was reading through it, I was just laughing.
I was sitting on the
I was sitting on the couch flipping through it and reading it. My wife was on the couch with me and she's just hanging out watching TV and I'm like, you need to pause. And she's like, wait, what? I'm like, pause it. And so she pauses what's on the TV and I just start reading like part of the book to her and we're just both laughing because I'm sitting there reading it because it was a section on difficult people and I'm like, hey, I'm the difficult person.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was fantastic. But I remember talking to you after that and you're like, well, we all are at some point. We're all that difficult person. And I'm like, yeah, I see that.
It was so embarrassing. One time I was acting out a cartoon in the book. I knew what was going on in my head, but on the outside, it totally looked like a difficult person. And there's this cartoon in the book where this woman goes to, I don't even know if I can describe art cartoons in wood, but I'm going to try this. So this guy is sitting at the desk. And on Monday, she's like, you're amazing. You're the best boss ever. I'm so excited to be here. And then Wednesday, she's like, you hate me, don't you? You're going to leave. And so it's that, like, where people are just flipping and you have no idea where it's coming from.
Daryl's only been with me for, 5 days now, our new producer, who's doing a fantastic job, by the way. But I think we went through those phases already in just a short week of being together, right?
Doesn't take long.
No. I love it. Oh, my gosh. And it's so neat to hear you say that, one, you made the commitment to read it because you care for her, but also just by the title of the book, you're like, I probably ought to be informed by this. And then
I probably ought to look at this.
I love it. So you had mentioned, I think I heard you correctly when you said that for CEOs and business owners and leaders of organizations, one of the biggest stressors they have, I think you said, or the theme that you're hearing most recently is they don't want to disappoint people. Is that what I heard you say?
That was the theme this week.
Yeah.
So each week there's a human theme and this week it was disappointing people.
And do you find that those stressors, like what would be, is there another overarching stressor or does it change? What causes leaders that you work with the most stress?
People. Yeah. Hands down. Seriously. Like, yeah. It's interesting to me because I'm going to go on a rant for a tiny, tiny
go
second.
For it.
It's the fundamental building block of business. When you think about it, no matter how large a company is, whether it's global or a little mom and pop, the foundation is people and the decisions they make. If there's product involved, it's people that are making decisions about the product. And so at people, not just their emotions and their personalities, but they're where their brains work, their decision-making processes. And so everything from hiring and firing is a huge source of stress for everybody. But figuring out, do we have the old metaphor of, do we have the right people on the bus? And then trying to get them into the right seats. What are their skill sets? How are they thinking? Understanding sometimes where it's not personal, you know, where it's just this person doesn't. Something that, for example, that I've encountered is that I have leaders who are saying, well, why can't this person see ahead? Why can't they think 5 steps ahead? I don't understand why they don't have the foresight to, or the good judgment to figure out that this isn't going to happen. I'm like, that's not the way their brain is working. This person will do great with a step-by-step sequence, but this person's not a big picture thinker. And so it's a cognitive style. It's recognizing here's the cognitive style that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the stressor is all of my people are so dedicated and they're trying to get it right. And so the stressor is this continuous, all right, am I making the right decisions with the people around me, with my employees, with if I'm choosing who's going to buy my company, if I'm choosing a partner, am I making the right decisions? And then on the inside, am I part of the problem? And so sometimes that self-doubt that comes up about whether they're getting it right.
We all need Peter's wife sitting next to us as we read that chapter and get to say out loud, I'm seeing myself here. I love it. And equally important, did you glean some skills and some ideas on, you know, kind of how to shift that? Or is a part of it just accepting who we are? I'll let either of you speak to that.
I mean, it, for me, it's really just kind of accepting that, yeah, sometimes I'm going to be difficult. And I mean, to a certain extent, it's, you know, my wife just understanding that at times I'm probably going to be difficult. But I also have to recognize that at times she's going to be difficult. So, you know, we have that role switch, and it's worked well, at least with me and my wife, where we know what the when somebody else is going to get stressed out, and we're able to read each other extremely well. So I don't have that as the deal with difficult people problem with like my family relationship. It's purely been around you know, employees and hiring and firing and figuring out, you know, how do I get people to do the work and to care about the work. And it's reading through the book gave me some insight into why I need to shift my own thinking in a lot of cases about how I'm approaching it. And I mean, there's still plenty of things that I have to learn about, you know, dealing with people and hiring and having employees and everything else. Like I'm back in another phase of I'm never hiring again. But at some point, I'm probably just going to get so busy again that I'm going to have to do something. And so it's really going back through that and just looking, okay, what do I need to shift? What do I need to look at internally in order to make this happen? And I think that was an important insight.
One of the recurring conversations that I have when you said about shifting internally is people's expectations. And so we want people to be who we want them to be, instead of saying, what's the information that I'm getting? What's the pattern that I'm seeing? And I have to base my expectations and my decisions off of that. And so I've seen just, you know, there's a lot of stress if it's like, well, something's wrong with me. I should be able to change this person. Mm-hmm. Or I clearly spelled things out 10 times. Why aren't they doing it? And so I think that there's a lot of sanity in terms of being able to care about people as human beings, but saying, this is who the person is. And so let me accept that and make predictions and decisions based on what they're showing me rather than what I wish they would be.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
There's one other thing that you asked. You said about inside of us. There's one part, it's not related to, well, maybe it's related to employees too. In the area of confidence, what I've seen is that a lot of people struggle with confidence no matter how successful they are. And one of the things that can really help with confidence is just accepting that we're not going to get it right. That we're going to make mistakes, that we're not perfect. I told somebody that's in a business changing stage, it's just like, this is part of it. Like when you're growing, if you're changing, if you're not stagnant, you're going to screw it up. And there's going to be pieces of you. I laugh at myself because there are pieces of me that are just not perfect. And I'm like, well, that's nice. But being able to just own it and have it be okay without it making me into a bad person is what allows me to move forward without getting too involved in my head.
I love conversations like this. We have packed so much in such a short amount of time. I want to thank you both, Trish and Peter, for being with us today. And I very much look forward to part two when we come back together again that first full week of July. You've been listening to Tricia Graff. She is the author of Relational Genius, The High Achiever's Guide to Soft Skill Confidence in Leadership and Life, and our dear friend Peter Adams with Soul Minion. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Max 6 Entrepreneur Center in Tempe, Arizona. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Owicki. Thanks for listening.